Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation.
I am the voice of the voiceless. Through me,
Vegan Nation is an informational program about the vegan lifestyle, happening worldwide, manifesting a world of health, peace, egalitarianism, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management.
The world shall set things right. I am the voice of the voiceless.
In this episode, I am featuring the educational video produced by Born Vegan. That's Serena Farb, who's in Kansas. And this is a video that she produced in January 2021, A Vaccines Vegan.
I am the voice of the voiceless.
Much thanks to Born Vegan for sharing the audio content of her video. We're listening to the music of Rahil Barbaram in Trinidad. This is Voice of the Voiceless.
And I am my brother's sister's keeper, and I shall fight his advice.
A poem written by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. She lived from 1850 to 1919. It's her poem, and the song is performed by Rahil Barbaram, Voice of the Voiceless. Much thanks to Rahil for sharing his beautiful music.
I am the voice of the voiceless. Through me.
And much thanks to Ella Wheeler Wilcox for her powerful poem.
The wrongs of the woodless weak, and I am my brother's sister's keeper, and I shall fight his advice. I speak the word for beast and bird, till the world shall set things right. I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now we'll hear the recording from Born Vegan, bornvegan.org. Serena Farb, Are Vaccines Vegan?
So, are vaccines vegan? This is a very hot topic right now, given everything that is going on with the pandemic and the new COVID vaccines. And I've seen a lot of people ask this question on social media. I've seen various vegan doctors and other YouTubers cover this. So I thought I would jump into the fray today. I want to be really clear about two things before I get started with this video. The first is that this video is not intended to be any kind of medical advice, and it is not intended to tell you whether you should or shouldn't get the COVID vaccine or any other vaccine for that matter. I believe that's a personal medical decision that every individual has to make for themselves. The second thing that I want to make really clear is that I am also not here to judge anyone as vegan or not for their choice to get or not get a vaccine. I think there are a lot of gray areas in, you know, how we apply veganism in a not yet vegan and very contradictory world. And so I'm just personally not really feeling, you know, that gatekeeping. That's not really what I want to do. I just want to provide some facts and information to help you make an informed decision about what you feel best works for you. Hey friends, Serena here, and for those of you that are new, welcome to my channel. I've been vegan since birth, and I'm here to provide you with facts and information to help empower you to live more ethically and sustainably in this world. Today we're talking about the issue of vaccines and whether or not they are vegan. If you're here specifically to learn about the COVID vaccine and what went into that, then make sure you watch all the way through to the end where I discuss the COVID vaccine and ingredients specifically. Let's go ahead and get into my 5 points that I want to discuss today about vaccines and whether or not they are vegan and why. So strictly speaking, the vast majority of vaccines are not vegan, simply based on the ingredients and the animal experimentation and general amount of animal exploitation that goes into producing vaccines. The truth is, there's both animal testing, there are frequently animal ingredients, and then in the particular way that a lot of vaccines are produced, there are also other animal products that go into producing them on a regular basis. So whether the ingredients that actually get injected into you with a vaccine Whether or not those are vegan depends heavily on which particular vaccine we are talking about. This is something that you can look up on the vaccine insert or on the CDC's information page, where you actually have a list of ingredients that go into each vaccine. The most common ingredient in a lot of vaccines that makes the actual injection itself not vegan is gelatin, and it's used as a preservative and stabilizer in a number of vaccines, such as the MMR vaccine and the chickenpox vaccine in particular. The other ingredient that you might see listed is something called FBS, or fetal bovine serum. Now, this is not actually an ingredient that they put into the vaccine. It's something that comes from the production method and is often left over, or there can be remnants of it. And fetal bovine serum, as I've described in videos talking about lab-grown meat, which I've linked up here, fetal bovine serum basically is baby cow blood, and it's an incredibly painful, atrocious procedure, and it is widely used in growing cells in culture today. And for a lot of vaccines for viral infections, a large quantity of virus has to be produced or grown. And viruses, unlike bacteria, cannot grow on their own. And so that means either growing them in living animals, growing them in fertilized eggs, which is how the vast majority of influenza vaccines are produced, or what a lot of companies are beginning to switch to now is something called cell-based culturing. And that's where viruses are grown in an established animal or human cell line, usually coming from monkeys or dogs or humans or aborted fetal tissue that were collected a long time ago and established. And then the virus for a particular vaccine can be grown in those cells. So like I mentioned, the flu vaccine is frequently grown in fertilized eggs, but one new flu vaccine is considered a cell-based flu vaccine that is grown via this method. The polio vaccine, also grown via this method. I believe the chickenpox vaccine is as well. So a lot of the technology is shifting away from producing vaccines repeatedly using animals. However, as great as this sounds, there's another element of animal exploitation that is huge in this process. To keep these cells alive in culture to be used for this purpose, they have to grow in a serum. They need a lot of nutrients and inputs since they're being extracted from a body and grown in a lab. And one of those main inputs is fetal bovine serum. So these cells are repeatedly using fetal bovine serum to grow the virus, to produce the vaccine, and then hopefully the cells, the genetic material, and the fetal bovine serum are all being purified and extracted out, don't end up in that actual, you know, final injection that you'll end up getting if you get a vaccine. Sometimes there are remnants, and even if they're not, that is a repeat use and an incredible amount of animal exploitation that is going on during the production phase of creating vaccines. And not just in the research phase. This isn't just a one-time thing. This is for every single batch of vaccine that is produced, fetal bovine serum has to be used. And that's not the only animal ingredient. There are ingredients like sugars that come from milk, trypsin, enzymes, and antibodies, all kinds of things that are still produced in animals and heavily dependent on animal exploitation and animal ingredients in cell culture. And that brings me to the final piece of ingredients and what goes into a vaccine that make it vegan or not. And this is the actual animal experimentation. In one of the recent videos that a number of vegan doctors put together talking about the COVID vaccine and their perspective on it, some doctors brought up the point that this is very different than, say, cosmetic testing on animals because it's not happening repeatedly. The animal experimentation that went in to develop the COVID vaccine was like a one-time, one and done, and now we have the vaccine, and it was tested on animals for safety, and never again. And this is really pretty false. It's not the way the COVID vaccine, nor many other vaccines actually work. So what they're referring to here is the preclinical safety testing. So this is before we ever test a vaccine that we're producing in humans, we test it in animals. Different vaccines are developed in different animals, and it kind of depends a lot on the disease we're talking about because not every animal is a good model for every human disease. Frequently, this is monkeys, ferrets get tested a lot, birds actually, shockingly, and mice and rats as well. And that is true of the current COVID vaccine, and that is true of almost every vaccine on the market today, that it was developed and created in animals before it was ever tested in humans. Once a vaccine is developed, tested for safety in animals, and then moves into human clinical trials or is then approved for general use, the animal testing doesn't stop there, because every batch or lot of a vaccine that's produced has to be verified for safety and efficacy. Now, up until a few years ago, there was something called an abnormal toxicity test that was incredibly gruesome and horrible and not super helpful, but it was like a really common toxicity test and involved animals being killed to test every single batch of a vaccine. That test has since been removed from the requirements in both the US and European Union. However, that test still is a requirement in Chinese markets, Brazilian markets, and Russian markets. But even with that legal requirement removed, the batches, the different lots of vaccines, still have to be tested for safety and efficacy, just no longer with this particular horrible, atrocious test. So the new testing methods involve a lot of cell culture, again, with more fetal bovine serum testing things in cells, but there are still a lot of animal tests that are involved. They're just not outright killing animals. They're supposedly more humane, where they infect animals and then test to see if the vaccine induces an appropriate level of antibodies to call it effective. In the end, all of the animals are still going to be sacrificed, which is a euphemism for killing them against their will, and we are still caging them, breeding them, and supporting an entire industry that is built on exploiting and doing to animals whatever we want because we think it will help us. So that is the reality of what goes into vaccines, and that they really, on many levels, even if the actual ingredients of some vaccines are animal-free, the process and what goes into them really is not. One other thing I need to jump in and add is horseshoe crab's blood is another huge animal product that is widely used in vaccines. Now, it's not actually used in vaccines, but again, one of the alternatives to batch testing every batch of vaccines on live animals is to use other ingredients that can detect contaminants. And one of those happens to be horseshoe crab blood, which has basically some very special, unique properties. And that is one of the forms of non-animal testing that is widely being used in the industry to test every batch of vaccines that are produced to make sure that they are safe and contaminant-free. Literally thousands upon thousands of these horseshoe crabs are being dragged from the ocean, bled, and then thrown back. And there are reports that many of them do not make this and end up dying in this brutal process. So, no, in the strictest sense, vaccines are not vegan, as I just described. However, let's look at what the definition of veganism actually says and how this applies to the issue of medicine and vaccines. The Vegan Society in the UK defines veganism as a philosophy and way of living which seeks to exclude, as far as possible and practicable, all forms of exploitation and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purpose. Here's the thing, veganism is not about being perfect. That is literally impossible in today's world. Most of us are still driving cars that often have animal slaughterhouse byproducts in them. Even if we are managed to find vegan tires and vegan cars, we're driving on roads that have slaughterhouse byproducts in them because it's all over the place. The extent to which humans have taken animals and turned their body parts into products and integrated them into every piece of our life is absolutely incredible. Very disturbing, but that is the reality. Because veganism is a principle of non-exploitation, and it's not a set of rules or a list of do's and don'ts, the phrase possible and practicable within the definition provides some leeway for every individual to figure out what possible and practicable means. But it definitely doesn't mean that you have to die refusing a medical treatment because it was at one point tested on animals or does contain animal ingredients. If you're dying, then you can't really put veganism into practice in that situation. And so this can be applied to drugs, to any kind of medical intervention or treatment, especially when there isn't a readily available alternative, which there easily is when we're talking about plant foods and anything that we're eating. Vaccines, however, are unique in this respect and present another gray area because vaccines, unlike drugs or other medical interventions, aren't being given in a sort of life-saving situation. Most people taking a vaccine are doing so preventatively and are not, say, lying on their deathbed at risk of dying if they refuse antibiotics or a certain surgery. So this does provide, again, some more nuance to the situation and why I feel very strongly that how possible and practicable something is really depends on each individual's circumstances and how they weigh the risks and benefits for themselves and how at risk they do or don't feel without a certain vaccine. Basically, vaccines can fit into your vegan ethic or not, depending on how you weigh the risks and benefits and what you feel is necessary to keep you safe and healthy and functioning in society. Where I said before, I think it's up to individuals to weigh the risks and benefits and make a decision for themselves. Those individuals who feel like it's more important to live their ethics and extend that as far as they possibly can and don't want to get a vaccine, then that right absolutely needs to be protected. And this is informed consent, this is religious freedom, this is philosophical freedom, ethical freedom, whatever you want to call it. And I'm supported in this by the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights and Bioethics. In Article 6, they explicitly stated, "Any preventative, diagnostic, and therapeutic medical intervention is only to be carried out with the prior, free, and informed consent of the person concerned based on adequate information. The consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time and for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice."
We're listening to Serena Farb. Her website is bornvegan.org. And she produces many educational videos, and this one is called Are Vaccines Vegan? You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue on with this educational information. You're listening to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and the globe at WCUW.org.
This is Sunta Africa.
And this is Velikete.
And you are tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM Community Radio in Worcester, Massachusetts.
And worldwide, WCUW.org.
Thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll continue with this feature of Born Vegan and her educational video, Are Vaccines Vegan? This is Serena Farb.
So here's the thing. I know a lot of people will argue that it's more vegan to get vaccines, especially the coming coronavirus vaccine, because of herd immunity and that an individual's choice not to get it puts others at risk. So this is the argument of for the greater good. So my choice doesn't just impact me, but I have to do something that might benefit everyone else. However, the greater good argument falls really, really short in biomedical ethics for a justification to override what an individual's personal ethics, religious beliefs, or feelings about just what goes into their body. It's a really bad argument for that because the argument of for the greater good has been historically used to justify so many things that we now recognize were unethical and harmful. From the Nazi experiments, twin experiments, to eugenics and forced sterilization, and the Tuskegee experiments on African American males in the South, time and again, where we have these examples of scientists or public health officials doing something without the informed consent of the patients or individuals involved has led to egregious harm. So that is why I come down strongly on the side of not coercing or trying to force legally or otherwise anyone into doing something that they don't truly consent to, no matter what the reason, even if there is a perceived benefit to the rest of society for that individual making a certain decision. And I think that includes veganism. A number of courts and tribunals in other countries have actually already ruled that ethical veganism is a protected, deeply held philosophical belief, similar to how religious beliefs are protected. And so I feel that there should be a philosophical exemption for those individuals that don't feel like they absolutely need every vaccine out there and want to do their best to, you know, avoid the annual flu vaccine or the coronavirus vaccine. So, the COVID vaccine, let's talk about that one specifically, since I know that's probably what a lot of you are actually here for today. So the COVID vaccine is actually unique in the fact that both the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, the actual ingredients in them do not contain any animal products. The only seemingly animal ingredient that I originally thought was cholesterol, which Pfizer especially has put out as saying it is from a synthetic or plant-based source and does not come from animals. However, that really does only apply to the actual ingredients in the vial, in the injection. And everything I said before about the animal testing and batch testing and animal products in cell cultures still very much applies. Additionally, the claim that the Moderna vaccine skipped animal testing is really false. They just began human trials at the same time as they were doing animal testing. So they kind of sped up the process, but did not skip it. And as you can see here, there are lots and lots and lots of reports of all kinds of animals being brutalized, killed, and exploited for this vaccine. And that also, of course, doesn't count the ongoing testing. Another thing that came up with the COVID vaccine is squalene, which comes from sharks and is used in the process of creating the vaccine, and apparently is used in some other vaccines, but was especially used in these COVID vaccines as well. So I haven't really gotten into the safety and efficacy of the vaccines. That's not what this video is about. It's really about whether or not the vaccine is vegan, and I've shared my perspective with you. However, if you are interested in hearing a more technical analysis of the science, particularly the Pfizer clinical trial data that was published about the safety and efficacy of the Pfizer COVID vaccine, I've linked that in the description below. I actually wrote an analysis, an article about this that goes a little bit more into the technical science and safety and efficacy side of things rather than just the ethics. Don't forget, leave me a comment below. Please, 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 people seem to be forgetting how to be civil these days. I will engage with anyone as long as you are civil and not just outright nasty. So if you have comments or questions or you disagree, tell me below, comment and let me know whether you're planning to get the COVID vaccine or not. I'm super curious as to where people are coming down on that and why. So with that, I will see you next week.
We've been listening to Born Vegan. Serena Farb of BornVegan.org. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. This program is designed to provide information. This is a non-vegan source I'm about to give for those who want to learn more information of what's happening to some of the animals in the laboratories. America is running low on a crucial resource for COVID-19 vaccines. The country is facing a monkey shortage. And that's from The Atlantic, August 31st, 2020, by Sarah Zhang. Here's another non-vegan source that provides information of what is hidden from us, the public, the masses. We do not see what's going on in the lab animal breeding facilities, nor in the laboratories, nor in the slaughterhouses, nor in the transport trucks, etc. It's all hidden from us. But as we know in life, in reality, it boomerangs back the violence, the suffering, the dis-ease, the unrest, on and on. But we can stop it. We can transform this planet from a killing pit into a paradise. Veganism. Let's reach the tipping point. Here's the other article, and this is U.S. plan to breed 10,000 monkeys a year for medical experiments means industrial farming of primates, say critics, and that's from the Primate Rescue Center, March 5th, 2021, by Melanie Parker. And another non-vegan source, this is what animals are used in coronavirus research. from the European Animal Research Association. April 16th, 2020, updated April 7th, 2021. I'm going to quote some of this article. Quote, ordinary mice are not susceptible to the disease. So scientists breed genetically altered mice to make them susceptible to COVID-19, end quote. Quote, the most common type of monkey used is the rhesus macaque, but scientists are also conducting studies using African greens and marmosets, ferrets, pigs, hamsters. And now I'll provide a source that is coming from a vegan organization. And this is from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and it's titled Without Consent, PETA's Cutting Edge Exhibit. And on their website, under Animal Rights Issues, they have a fact sheet from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. Okay, so we're providing information concerning all beings on this planet, and veganism is the practice of freedom and nonviolence, non-exploitation for all beings without discrimination. And so next I'll provide more resource information for those who would like more information on what can be done to ensure freedom of choice. And I'll provide one more source, and that is from plant-based Dr. Pam Popper in Ohio. And she is a founder of Make Americans Free Again. And there's a recording, I'll give a little snippet of it from the website, makeamericansfreeagain.com. And that was from their May 6th, 2021 recording on the website. And I just have one snippet, a question that was asked and the answer she provided.
Can employers threaten your job if you do not vaccinate? I just posted this on the weekly meetings part of our site, and I'm mentioning it in Friday's video. OSHA has a Q&A section that's COVID-related on their website. And in answer to a question that was asked, OSHA actually stated that employers should keep track of adverse events and deaths from vaccines, and that any deaths or injuries should be considered worksite injuries, which brings up the question, you know, what does that mean exactly? If it's a worksite injury, then you would be able to make a claim under workers' comp or perhaps against the employer himself or herself. So one of the things that I've encouraged people to do is to say to their employer, you know, what kind of funding have you set up to deal with injuries and deaths? And, you know, tell me what your – I've done some research on this. There are a lot of people who have been injured and died. Have you looked at that data? Does it concern you? Would you like to see it? Would we be making claims with workers' comp? Have you checked with them to see if they'll pay? Because if not, you could be personally liable. And if it's death, that would be like a huge claim. And you can't sue the vaccine makers, so the only place to go after is my employer if my employer makes me do it. And I know of situations in which employers have backed down as a result of that. So I certainly think that is worth looking into, okay?
Okay, that was Dr. Pam Popper, naturopath, co-founder of Make Americans Free Again, and her business is based in Ohio, Wellness Forum Health. I'd like to thank Serena Fab of Born Vegan, bornvegan.org. for sharing her video, Are Vaccines Vegan? Oh, she also has a new podcast out, Science is Gray. So check that out. There's a lot of, again, important information. And I'd like to thank Rahil Babaram in Trinidad for sharing his music, Voice of the Voiceless. And so you can check that out on his social media sites, Rahil Babaram, R-A-H-I-L, and last name B-A-B-O-O. R-A-M in Trinidad. I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management, Information provided is for educational purposes only. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.